If you go back into theology and history, the children of Israel back from Egypt did sacrifices outside the city. That was a foreshadowing of what was to come in the New Testament. Because that lamb, they were to get a young lamb that was without spot, without blemish. But we know there's no lamb that's really perfect. But now God says the Lamb of God. He had no sin. No sin. He did nothing wrong. We did something wrong. He took our place. Intercession today that y'all can see the car that just missed you. He's just that kind of God. Help me, somebody. Help me. There's a portion of scripture that God has given me for our consideration this morning. It will fill the length and breadth of my conversation with you this morning. It is not my desire to hold you long in this place. I know y'all got Easter dinner planned. Or should I say resurrection dinner planned? Let's not get secular here. Yes. Amen. So, yes. But we're going to let God give us a word.
Amen.
How do you believe that we ought to not just come to church and have a good time? We ought to learn something up in here, shouldn't we?
Amen.
Get a witness out here.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
That's all it.
We ain't gonna go unknowledgeable in New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen. The devil is allowed. Our knowledge, the knowledge of God's word is our weapon, y'all.
Amen.
But there's a scripture from the Lord, okay? Gospel according to John, chapter 11. Go there with me. Pastor knows resurrection morning. Watch how God work this out. John chapter 11, okay? And I should find that if you can't stand in honor as we read God's word, if you can't stand, God understands. John chapter 11, verse beginning at, I'm going to shine a sermonic spotlight on verses 33 to 37. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, excuse me. Preaching and teaching time. And we're unable to do this by ourselves. So we actually allow the Holy Spirit to come on in, Father, and exhibit His perfect preaching and teaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Draw back the drapes of misunderstanding. Make His word plain enough so that a child can understand it. Father God, take us down into the storehouse of wisdom and knowledge. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so we have clarity of understanding to know the direction He wants to live our life from this day forward. Father God, right now, we can't understand it without you. So, Father God, let your Holy Spirit just come on in. Right now, in the name of Jesus, anoint our minds afresh. Anoint every seat in the place. Bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your children.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father God, right now, let your word fall on good ground. Use your servant, Lord Jesus, any way you desire this morning. Play me in there, whatever key you want me to sing in. Right now, in the name of Jesus, give me a good time in you. Restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Yes,
and in turn, Father God, like the oil running down Aaron's bread, feed your people till they want no more. Have your way in this place, oh God. Let your word go forth with power and might on this resurrection day. And whatever's accomplished in this setting, oh Father God, we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people. Hear it. Now, John chapter 11, beginning at the 33rd verse. Hear ye the words of the Lord. Then when Mary was come, I'm into the 32nd verse, that's fine. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in his spirit, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. I like to draw a subject from the 35th verse so I can put a tag on the text for this resurrection morning. Jesus wept. Okay?
Amen.
And I put a tag on it, the weeping Jesus.
Right.
Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. The weeping Jesus. The weeping Jesus. My brother says, I will begin this conversation with a general reflection about the nature and the destiny of the Christian gospel writ at large. That is this. You must understand that as believers of Jesus Christ, your religion is very different than many of the major religions in the world. Are you walking with me? The God of your religion is not like the God of the Hindu, not like the God of the Buddhist, of the Muslim, or the Jew, or Baal. Your God is a very particular being that functions in a very particular way.
Wow.
The God of the Hindu is so universal and so ubiquitous that the Hindu God gets lost in the melees of everything. That God has no particularity. It's not subjective at all. The God of the Muslim is a God who is judgmental, exacting. That God requires things to be done and judges according to how the things are done or not done. The God of the Jew, the God of the Hebrew nation, is a God who is a God of ritual, a God who summons the people into the temple and that they may perform the obligations of rituals so that the stain of sin can be dealt with.
Okay.
The Christian God is very different.
Okay.
The Christian God, unlike the God of the Hindu, unlike the God of the Muslim, unlike the God of the Buddhist, unlike the God of the Jews, the Christian God is emotional.
Wow.
Did I just say something?
So,
he is emotional. A part of what makes our religion so profound, I certify to you this resurrection morning that our God is emotional. And by that measure, he is rooted in a fundamental relationship with us. Our God is not objective. Our God is not standing afar off. Our God is not sitting on the circumference of the earth, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah became a lamb, that lambs might become lions, that the eternal divinity of the universe took on flesh and blood, dick and belly, and walked among men so that men might know how to walk like God.
Amen.
Wow. I'm going to get happy in a minute.
That's all right.
Can I get a witness in here? So, you don't understand what I'm saying, because in order to follow Jesus Christ and to understand this God, you must reconcile yourself with the emotions of life, the sensations of what it means to deal with the vicissitudes of everyday living. What makes the Christian God so amazing is that he gets emotional. He is jealous. He is angry. He is merciful. Can I hang out right there? You should have shouted all by yourself when I say he's merciful. Because I know somebody out there can say, if it were not for the Lord on your side. He's a merciful God. He is kind. He's compassionate. He weeps. He cries. He laments. He longs. He waits. He broods. He desires. Yes, my God is emotional.
Wow.
I preached from John 11 many times, y'all. Plenty of times. But I never fully understood the nature of the weeping here.
Wow.
I want to take you into this because I find this a remarkable set of circumstances.
Well,
as I took a closer look at this thing. Will you allow God to use me to teach you something this morning?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The Greek word for the verb weeping here is this test. It's dakro. The Greek word is dakro. The word dakro in verse 35 is very different than the word for weeping in verse 33. When Jesus comes in verse 33, he sees Martha, Mary, and the Jews weeping.
Yes.
That word weeping in verse 33 is klekleo. This word in the Greek means to have an audible outburst of emotion.
Uh-huh.
So when someone dies and people cry out and lament, you with me, Sister Thomas?
Yes.
Wail and weep, they are expressive about it. They are klekleo. This is verse 33. Watch me. Verse 35 is daru. The weeping of Mary and Jesus is not the same weeping. I have lived long enough to know that all crying is not the same.
Okay.
I've been in church and seen people who have overcome cancer, have overcome heart attacks, fought off diabetes in the worship service with tears running down their face. It was not a tear of defeat, but it was a tear of joy. When they think about how good God has been to them.
Yeah.
Every now and again,
yeah.
The only way to respond to the mercy of God,
yeah,
is to let a tear run down your face.
Amen.
I'm not afraid to cry. I will cry all over the building and you when I think how powerful and amazing my God has been in my life. I'm not ashamed of my emotion. To every man that is hearing me who has said that real men don't cry, the devil is a liar. Unless we cry, Sister Edwin, unless we emote, we end up beating our women and ruining our children. You trying to be tough. What? That's a whole nother message. Because we are not strong enough to be honest about how we feel. The Greek word for weep in verse 33 is kleo. In verse 35 is daru. Now watch this. They mean two very different things. Verse 33, kleo, an audible outburst of emotions. Daru means to groan inwardly. So when the Bible says Jesus wept, watch me now, it is suggesting that it was not an audible cry, but rather Jesus groaned inwardly.
Y'all ain't been thinking.
Who helped me, God? It almost as if the writer climbed into the mind of Christ and deals with his psychology, because there was no sound to his cry.
Uh-huh.
Yet the writer uses the word daru to tell us there was a groan in the crowd. He was groaning as he stood there and watched the people who should have known that he was able to bring Lazarus back from the dead.
Amen.
People who should have known he can do it exceedingly and abundantly. That's why Jesus was groaning. To watch them lose what little faith they had, because they had brushed up against a little bit of death.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but over the course of the last month, some of us in here may have made God groan inwardly.
Wow.
Whenever we did not believe, when we should have believed, whenever we were not strong, when we should have been strong, whenever we should were not proud, when we should have been proud, we made God groan inwardly.
Wow.
Don't sound nice, do it, huh? Can I get real theological on that?
Yes, sir.
Every time you don't do something God asks you to do, you crucify him all over again.
Yeah.
You put him back on the cross. You can be saved, sanctified for 30 years, and still make God cry. When we're not being all that we were created to be, and God purposes to be, there's a groaning in God. God is not disappointed. Not with our failure, but with the failure of us to reach for more.
No.
Don't just be satisfied with what you got. God said, I created you to be exceedingly above. I created you to have life and life more abundantly. He said, why are you selling it for some junk? I grown when you just settle. essential question for us today. Why would Jesus cry over a man he knew he was about to raise from the grave?
Wow.
Watch me now. Help the Holy Ghost. Who cries over somebody you are about to fix? The answer comes in this way. Jesus was not crying because Lazarus died. He was crying because Lazarus was his friend. Y'all just get that.
Yeah.
When you go through your stuff, you worrying about what you got to go through, think God ain't coming through for you? God ain't worrying about what you're going through. God's more worried about your relationship with him. He says, I made you promises, and if I don't keep it, you will turn your back on me. He said, I'm going to come through not because of you, because my name said I will come through.
Amen.
It's about me. That's what God said. It got nothing to do with you. I can live with that alone. You know that just because he said he's going to do what he's going to do, just because he said who I am, all I got to do is remember whose I am and who I belong to.
Yeah.
And I got
yeah.
I don't need no holy sign, government, no certificate or no contract. If he said he's going to do it, because the Bible tells me God is not a man that he can lie. If he said it, he will do it. You will cry. Whether you like it or not, love will bring you to tears. It is interesting because the essence of love is that we are connected. Watch me now. Love is a connecting emotion. Hate is also a connecting emotion. That is why it makes no sense to hate somebody you don't like. Because to hate them means you remain connected to them for the rest of your life. Love is a connecting emotion. It bonds you to the individual. The problem is this: we love people that are not gods. Can I just say something? I'm sure hoping we get help here. We love people. They're people, not gods.
Amen.
We love people. They are not angels. They are human beings.
Amen.
I gotta help us.
Amen.
We're not loving an angel. You're not raising a god. You're raising and loving an individual.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean, Pastor? I'll tell you what it means. That means you are loving somebody who is so fragile, so broken, so twisted, so foolish, so weak, and so sinful that they have the great potential of breaking your heart before it is all over with.
Wow.
Thank God his love is not like ours. Because if it was, we wouldn't have this day.
Amen.
Wake up, y'all. Wake up.
Amen.
Y'all been watching too many movies and reading too many fairy tales. Watching too much TV. God told me to slap y'all back into your spiritual sense this morning. So that in the future, you will not offer your love to somebody unless you first consider how they could break your heart. Say to the person, I know you're going to disappoint me. I know you're going to let me down. It is time for us to get over this puppy love foolishness. Get mad at people because you're treating them like gods and they act like humans and then they make you cry. You treat people like gods and they act like humans and you get mad about it. Did I just, y'all understand what I just said?
I heard that.
The very thing, it's actually just the ridiculous of love is ridiculous. Because the very thing you love has the power to hurt you the most. If Jesus had never loved anybody, he would have gone through this whole life and never done any weeping. There are only two instances in the Bible where Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Right here in John chapter 11 and 35, and in Luke chapter 19 and 41, we looked over Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, if you knew the calamity and the stuff that was going to come upon you, and he wept over the city.
Yeah.
Jesus wept because of love.
Yeah.
Because Jesus loved us, that's why he's reduced to weeping. I will say this to you. The only way not to cry is not to love. Don't love nobody. Don't only protect your heart, Deacon Drake, and don't give it to anybody. But what would life be? What would life be if you couldn't give your heart to somebody? Come on, can I get a witness in here? That'd be like life without colors. Can I get a witness in here? That we would like without any excitement.
Yeah.
Can I hear the witness in here?
Yeah.
Can I make it personal?
Yeah.
That'd be like life without some fried chicken. I think
what?
Oh, <no.
laughs>
Sorry, I got a flashback. The Greeks, listen to this, y'all. The Greeks had six words for love. The Greeks were more astute than us.
Wow.
We say, I love my car, I love my wife, I love my boyfriend, I love my girlfriend, I love my job. We use the same word, and that's why we get confused, because it's not the same thing.
All right. Amen. All right.
Help me teach it, Lord
Jesus Christ.
This is the only country, burials, this is is the only country in the world where you can love everything and absolutely be devoted to nothing. Lord, help your child. The Greeks got six words for it. Here we go. First one, philios. I know you think you know what it means, but let me help you. Yes, friendly. Friendly love, brotherly love. Can I go a little deeper with the meaning?
Yeah.
It means love between equals. Sometimes we get involved with people that are not our equals. Been there and done that before? Loving somebody that's not your equal will mean that you are will be still alone. Because that will drag you down to their level. You selling for somebody that love ain't got nothing to do. No, you selling. It's a physical emotion. Don't fall in love with someone that's not your equal. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked. Here we go. Here go another one. Eros. We think that's sexual love, physical love, but it's more than that. But the true Greek definition, as you take it quicker, it means desire. It may be sexual or not sexual, but eros means your strong desire. You have a strong desire to do what you are called to do, a desire to after the person. I ain't done yet.
All right.
Stargate. Here we go. Stargate means family love. The love you have for your mother, your father, or your siblings. That's family love. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I know you think you know what this is. Agape.
Yes, sir.
The correct Greek pronunciation is agrua. Agrua. Watch this. Many of us call this unconditional love. The word agape agrua appears first in the Old Testament in poems. But in the New Testament Septuagint as an adjective. It's a verb in the Old Testament, but now it's an adjective in the New Testament. It describes something. Agape in the New Testament means to open wide. Watch that. Watch this. It means to open wide, to make big, to make broad, to become bigger than you are, than what you are for me. It is more profound understanding of unconditional love. You got to open up yourself to be first be even become unconditional.
Amen.
You got to surrender.
Yes.
I like that one. Baby, surrender to me. If you let down your walls, you let down your guard, then you accept I'll be raggedy, but you're still a love on me. Can I get a witness to you? Amen. I'm not perfect. I'm not a God. I'm just a human being. I'm trying to be the best I can be. Can I get a witness? Oh. Y'all watch it. I'm going to start quoting Petty Prendergast if you whenever you encounter the love of God, he makes you open up to accept the demands of not another person's compassion, but his demands.
Yeah. Right.
When you accept the love of God, you're willing to do whatever God say do. If you say, if God say, you got to leave his raggedy behind, you say, I'm gone, God. Y'all don't like that one, huh? He ain't doing you no good. She ain't no good for you.
Yes, sir.
I got bigger, better things for you.
Amen.
I know it hurt, but guess what? Surgery time.
Yes.
Open up yourself to what I'm saying to you.
Yes. Thank you.
Agape love.
Yes.
I unconditionally accept the instructions and the demands that God puts on my life.
Yes.
Be it good or bad, I think for me. But God knows what's best for all of us.
Yes.
Here go another one. I'm almost done. Don't get tired yet. Pothos. Pothos. Meaning to long or to chase.
Watch this, baby. It is a powerful word. Because how many of us know people who really were not in it, not into us? They really weren't into us. But they were into trying to get to us.
Wow.
I'm loving this thing.
All right.
I know, so I get it. You got something, you got some smart person that's saying, now, Pastor, what does God do with Jesus in my life? Can y'all just give me a minute so I can lay the foundation?
Yes,
please,
sir.
Please help me, Holy Ghost.
Take your time.
There are some people that are not in us, but they were trying to get there. There are some people who are committed to the chase. More than they're committed to the object of the chase. You know, other people, like we said, like when they just want notches on their belt, they're just a tiger on the prowl, a lion on the prowl. They don't care. The female lion is the hunter of the pack.
Right.
The male lion does not go hunting. But I'm making a point here. Listen to this. She kills the prey, but she walks away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So the pack can eat it. Why? She's just into the chase. I'm gonna get you, take you down, and I'm gone. Otherwise, hit it and quit it. This is why after they get you, they don't have any plans for you.
All right now.
They're not committed to you, just the chase of you. That's potos. Last one, hemorrhoids. This word in the Greek means to be captivated by or to be in awe of. Potos is to love the chase. Hemorrhoids is to love the thing itself. Why did God give me this to give y'all? So we will learn how to allow all of the definitions to play a part in our attempts to love.
Yes, sir.
All of them got to be in play for you to be a whole. You just can't take a part of it.
Mm.
When you love you, you need to have all of these to play a part now, right? It is interesting because Jesus engages in the art of weeping in this passage because he loved his friend. Jesus knew all the parts.
Wow.
He loved a friend. He's not crying because the man died. He's crying because he's connected to the man that died.
Yes.
Here it is, part of the reason why Jesus couldn't be trusted. The reason Jesus couldn't be trusted with the power of grace, that the reason Jesus, the Lord, the God his Father, trusted him with the resurrection power because he trusted him to have compassion on Lazarus. Do how many people you know got power and they don't know what to do with it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They abuse the power. You know why? Because they're not connected to you.
Yeah. Wow.
They don't care who you are.
Wow.
I'm done. I'm sick and tired of it. But did I say pastors with doctor's degrees and everything preaching people about love? And guess what? They didn't even say good morning to the church today.
Wow.
How they connected? Why you can tell me about saving me and you not connected to me?
Wow.
You didn't take the time to say hi to me. You won't even come down. Matter of fact, when you finish preaching, you disappear. God forgive me. Don't never let my church get that big I can't stand. I can at least touch somebody.
Wow.
Servant shepherd. Here's the reason why Jesus was trusted to raise the man. God said, you're connected to me. Many of us want power without trust, being trusted with compassion. Too many of us want authority. And then we don't want to have the arduous work of connecting to the people who we have authority over. Mm. Ain't that wrong with people? Well, Pastor, why you said all this? That's why Jesus came to die.
Right.
Because of love.
Yes.
They told me, the old theologians told me that God looked around heaven trying to find someone who could come down and die for us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I get a witness?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, he did. He tried to find someone that can die for us. They told me that, Noah was there, but he was drinking too much. And say Moses was there, but he was a murderer. Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't with me?
Yes, sir.
Samson was there, but he was a womanizer. He sent him down and he hooked up with the woman. And Jesus said, Lord, here I am, send me.
Yes, sir.
He said, why would you go for him, Jesus? He said, because I am the Christ,
yes.
Your son, the son of the living God.
Right.
Can I get a witness in here?
Amen.
He said, I'm going to make intercession so you can get connected back to your people.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to take the six Greek words and I'm going to put them into play. I'm not just going to walk the earth and just heal the sick and raise the dead. He said, but I'm going to do it not just because I got the power.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
said, because I have a desire in my heart to make their life better.
Amen.
He said, they're mine and I'm theirs.
Yeah.
I'm connected to them, Jesus
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
He said, but that's all right. He said, I'll take off my divinity, God.
Yeah.
I'll take down my royalty.
Yeah.
He said, I'll take off my robe and I'll put aside the worship they want to give me. And I'll come down and I'll be born of a virgin Mary. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and lay myself in a manger. Why? Because Lord made me do it, Father. He said, I'll walk the earth 33 humps a year and allow Satan to trick me. Allow him to tempt me 40 days and 40 nights. But I won't turn my back on you, God. He said, I allowed him to whip me all night long and I won't say a mumbling word. Why? Because I'm connected to them through love. Wept for them at the beginning when they threw them out the garden, and I'm still weeping for them. I'll be the Lamb of God that taken away the sins of the world before the foundation of the world. Y'all ain't feeling me up in hell. And he said he came down and he walked the earth, healed the sick, raised the dead, fed 5,000, walked on water, calmed the raging sea. But one night on a Thursday night, said, the Last Supper, and he sat down. He said, this is my body, take this, this is going to be broken for you, this is wine, represents my blood that's going to be shed for the remission of all sin. And that's not the whole story. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus came and kissed him on the cheek and they rested. My Lord, he was not a guilty man, he didn't do nobody wrong. The judgment hall. God is saying, I'm going to have nothing to do with this man. I find no fault with him. You better bet your bottom dollar, because he was God. He had no sin. And they whipped him all night long. He said not a mumbling word. And they mossed him up, Calvary's Hill. And they mossed him up, Calvary's Hill. They spread him wide. Lift me up and draw all men unto me. That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. Because he hung there. He hung there till the stars fell from the sky. He hung there till the moon turned to blood. And all the dead bodies got up in Jerusalem. And he looked down in the midst of him dying. He stopped to forgive you and me. He said, Father, Father, forgive them. And he said, I into my hands, I commend my spirit. He stayed there Friday night. He stayed there Saturday night. But Ernie, I'm so glad about it. Ernie, Sunday morning, resurrection morning, he got over all power. Power to make me walk right. Power to help me fight my battles. I'm glad we got a weeping Jesus. God bless you. This is my prayer.